began discussing the sugi of Davar Sheni Miskafi and the Machlokas Rabbi Yid and Rabbi Shimon, pointed out that this Machlokas is not only when it comes to issues of Shabbos, but indeed Bechol HaTorah Kulin. One of the Makoros was the Mishnah in Perek Tes of Kilayim, the sugi and Avchav Tes Mabez in Shabbos, the case of Mochre Iksus, where the Mishnah tells us that Mochre in Kedarkon, O Bovav Shlo Yiskafin Bechama Bipnei Hachama, O Bipshamim Bipnei Hagashamim. So Mochre Iksus are allowed, according to Rabbi Shimon, to wear their garments as they normally would, as long as there is no clear intent to derive benefit from Levishas Kilayim. The Tosfos in Daf Chav Tes Amud Beis is bothered by a very simple kasha, and that is, isn't this a case of Psik Reisha? The sugi that we saw in Daf Chav Gimel Amud Aleph says that when is there a machlokas between Rabbi and Rabbi Shimon? That's only if the second result may or may not occur. If it's a case of Psik Reisha, so everyone agrees certainly that is considered to be forbidden min HaTorah. So the case of Mochre Iksus, isn't that considered to be explicitly an instance of Psik Reisha? So Tosfos writes that no. You have to assume that this is not referring to a case of Psik Reisha at all. How is that possible? Tosfos says, Kagon shulavush malbushim acherim lahagin alav. The person is wearing other clothing. The other garments that he is wearing are not considered to be shatnez, and therefore, perhaps the person is not really deriving any clear benefit at all from those garments. If all he will be wearing is the ksus, the beged of shatnez, Tosfos says, that indeed is considered to be a psik reisha. So again, a chiddush, that the entire mission of mochre ksus, mochre kedarkon, b'med v'ram amurim, that the person is lavush malbushim acherim. If you only had the case of lahavriach es ameches, for example, the other mission in Perek Tes of Kilayim, the sugi b'vakam and avkuf yud gimel, maybe one could have argued, yeah, we're talking about lavush malbushim acherim. The person is trying to avoid taxes, so he's piling on garments in order to see to it that he'll avoid paying tax on what he wears. But that's the example of mochre ksus also. Mochre and Kedarkin is only a case of Lavush Mabushim Acherim. So if you look in the Ran in Chulin, in Gidan Ashan, the Sugi and Apsari Gimel Mabez, the Ran writes the following Chiddush, without full explanation, however. The Ran writes the following. When it comes to Isurei Hana, then Dover Shinim Iskavin is Mutter, Af B'Mokom Dehavi Psik Reisha. That's the Chiddush that the Ran writes. When you're dealing with an Isser Maisa, for example, all other cases that we had of Psik Reisha, where a person is engaged a particular act, literally, Psik Reisha of Lo Yamus, or a case of Gorada Mita Kisav Asafso, an instance that will be Psik Reisha. When there is such a Maisa Vera, even if there is no Kavana, but if indeed it's a Psik Reisha, then one is considered to be Chayiv. However, the Ran writes, if you're not dealing with an Isser Maisa, but rather you're talking about simply the hana that one attains, in such an instance, if it's a davar shenim iskavin, that is mutter, af b'makom psik reisha. Very great chiddush that the Ran writes in Chulin and Daf Tzadi Gimel. If you look in the Ran in Shabbos and Daf Kuf Yud Aleph, and if you look in the Ramban, also in that sugya Kuf Yud Aleph Amud Aleph, there the Ran and the Ramban seem to stress another element. They deal with the Shita Sa'aruch. We start to discuss, according to the Aruch, Tosfos quotes Kof Gimel Amud Aleph, that a Psik Reisha Lo Nechale is something which is Mutter Lechatchila. Lo Nechale doesn't mean something that is absolutely undesirable, but as Rashi pointed out, the Sugya of Kof Gimel, something which is simply Lo Ichpas Leh, Deka'avid Ba'ar Dechavrei. This is not your enemy where you're trying to ruin his karka. You have no vested interest in such a case. A Psik Reisha, which even the Lichpas Leh is considered to be, according to Aruch, Mutter Lechatchila. One of the rayas of the Aruch is this case of Mochre Iksus. Isn't this a case of Psik Reisha? Isn't this a case where clearly the person is wearing a beged of shatnez? The answer is, if it's only a case of Mochre Iksus, so therefore, any hana that he will derive benefit from is something which is lo nechale, that's not the motivation of his levisha. And therefore, according to the Aruch, this is very good. It's considered to be a psik reisha lo nechale, and therefore it's considered to be mutter lechatchila. So this is what the Ran and the Ramban address. If you disagree with Aruch, and you assume that a psik reisha lo nechale is not mutter lechatchila, sometimes, as we'll see, it's pata avalasa, sometimes it's nisa daraisa. How do you understand the case of mochre iksus? Isn't this mamish considered to be a case of psik reisha? So the Ramban writes the following chiddush: Shuma sheitir Rav Shimon, lo mochre iksus lo bal shkelayim, Mishum delo asra Torah ela malbul shistamu lehana. Avo kishe ema menahana lav malbul shu ela masli ba'alma. This is what the Gemara writes in Yavamos and Avavim and Aleph. The Gemara comments that the Torah forbids levisha, but the Torah also says lo ya'ale alecha. You're not allowed to wear a beged of shatnez, but the Torah also underscores lo yala. Lo yala means ha'alah, just drape him in garment of shatnez on you. The Gemara is bothered by the obvious difficulty. If ha'alah is aser, well, obviously the visha is aser as well. No, ha'alah means even if you're not fully wearing the garment, right? Simply to drape it on your body is considered to be aser. So why does the Torah mention levisha as well as ha'alah? The Gemara comments that dumya de levisha disbeyana, in order to stress that Hana is necessary. Hana is levisha. Levisha sheish b'hana. That is considered to be aser. The Ran and the Ramban write the fascinating chiddush, and that's the following, that hana there is considered to be part of the essence, part of the definition of kilayim. Not every act of levisha or halah is considered to be aser. Dumi to levisha is b'hana. If a person is not indeed nehne from the abad, the beged that he is wearing, in such an instance, that is not considered to be the violation of the isur of shatnez. So therefore, levisha she'ein stam lahana, the Ramban writes, lo havi levisha, and therefore, eino malbush elam asa, an interesting chiddush. So you still have to refine this chiddush in the following sense, because if this is really true, that you'll argue by very definition, levisha requires hana, one could have argued that this could be true both according to Rabbi Shimon and according to Rabbi Yehuda, no? One could have argued that maybe this has nothing at all to do with the issue of Davar Sheni Miskavin. If you're going to tell me that this is part of the essence of the Isser, so therefore, maybe one could argue even Rabbi Yehuda Nomi says Davar Sheni Miskavin is Chayiv Min HaTorah, but not in a case where the Geder HaIsser is Dumya De Levisha, De Isbehana. So what exactly does the Ran mean? The Ran in Chulin that distinguishes between an Isser Sheshbo Maise as opposed to Isurei Hana, and the Chiddush that the Ran and the Ramban write that Hana is considered to be a clear point of Levisha, Levisha's Hana, and therefore if a person is not Miskaven, therefore he would not again be Chayiv. You cannot argue as follows, that perhaps that if a person is not aware of the hana that he is receiving, so maybe al-pidin, that's not considered to be hana. Or maybe one could argue simply in terms of mitzius, a person is not deriving benefit if it's eno miskaven. If a person intends, obviously he's deriving benefit from the hana. If a person, for example, is eno miskaven the kav, so therefore maybe that is not considered al-pidin to be hana. Again, what's the difficulty with that? If that's true, why should that be dependent again on Rabbi Yehuda versus Rabbi Shimon? If you're going to argue that the act is done, it's just a question of kavana, so therefore good. If you're going to argue that it's not considered to be hana unless yiskavin lekach, so therefore again, why should this be dependent on the machlokas tanoim? Argue, everybody would agree that this indeed is true, and that certainly is not the case. Mochriksus Mosr and Kadarka. The Gemara says is according to Rabbi Yehuda, it's Asr, according to Rabbi Shimon only, that is considered to be Mutter. Apparently one has to argue, right, as follows. When you look right, in the Sugyan Sochim and Daf Chavei, the Gemara mentions the following issue. What happens if lo efsha v'komechavi? What happens if there is hana which is inevitable? Is that considered to be bichlal isurei hana, or is that not? The Gemara's case, for example, is the following. That holy ledarko, a person is simply walking down the street, and there happens to be a reach of avodah zarah. He's walking down the street because he has a particular destination in mind. And lo efsha. Lo efsha means that, look, it's not up to him. It's not that he could access that area in one of three ways, and he, bedavka, chooses the way that he goes past a makam of avodah zarah, and he is able to derive benefit from the scent of that avodah zarah. We're talking about a case of no, that lo efsha. That no, the only way to get the destination is going down this particular street, right? And he knows that there is a fragrance of avodah zarah. Good? So what happens in that particular case? Lo efshir v'kum mechave. So what does that mean? Abaye says the following, that that case is considered indeed to be mutter. A person is going on his way, and there is no other option. Umeiriach reach avodah zarah. In such a case, Abaye says that that indeed would be mutter. What exactly does that mean? Why should that be true? If avodah zarah is asur b'hana, so in such a case, what difference does it make? What's the basis of the heter? The fact that you couldn't get to your destination otherwise. So therefore, lo efshir is matir. What's considered to be a shas atchak, which is matir, in Isra of avodah zarah. How can that be? So let the halacha be that if that's the only access, so therefore, don't go and don't be nana. So Rabbi Chanan points out in the Kovet Shiurim, in Psachim and Dav Chafein, Os Kuvte Zayin, apparently you see from the following, that hana haba me'eleha is muteris. Hana which happens to be incidental, or hana that you do not provide or cause in any shape or form, but happens automatically, irrespective of that which you do. Hana haba me'eleha, that is considered to be muteris. That indeed is allowed. What does it mean to say something is forbidden b'hana? The iser is that one is not allowed to perform an act that provides hana. Rabbi Chanan writes that ein ha'iser ela shlo yase ha'adam ma'ase lehenos. Something is aser b'hana. What does that mean? Under any shape or form, I cannot derive benefit. No, it means that I cannot actively pursue. I cannot engage. I cannot perform an act that will cause me to derive benefit. So how do you define that? It's not hana haba me'eleha. If that's true, what difference does it make? Whether it's efshar or efshar, the halacha should be categorically. You cannot walk down that road if there is a base of avodah zarah, and whoever walks there will be meiriach reach avodah zarah. It must be that a person, Rabbi Chanan writes, is not allowed to do that which contributes to hana. And then the Gemara says, and that's sugim sachim daf chafei, that this indeed then is the machlokas between Rabbi Yehuda and Rabbi Shimon. If you assume like the sheet of Rabbi Shimon, so therefore, how is it that indeed you will define whether you are the one who is causing that hana, or whether the hana is absolutely incidental? That's the chiddush of the Gemara. That Rabbi Shimon, who maintains that davar sheni miskaven is mutter, and in order to be chayiv minatar, you require davar hamiskaven. So Rabbi Chanan writes the following chiddush. That means everything is dependent on hana. Is this considered to be a maisa adam? Is this considered to be as though you have violated isurei hana? Or whether or not the hava was considered to be provided me'eleha, independent of that which you do? That will all be a function of your hana, your kavana, your intent, davar miskavein. That's exactly the chiddush that Abaye says. That in miskavein lehenos, in such a case, that is labeled as maisa adam, that the person himself is causing the hana. If, however, he is eno miskavein is mutter b'chol haTorah kula. That means that's not considered to be your maisa adam. That means it's hana hanaseis me'aleha, and in such a case, that is considered to be mutter. According to Rabbi Yehuda, that cannot be. According to Rabbi Yehuda, davar sheni miskaven is chayiv min haTorah. That means whether you indeed have kavana or not is irrelevant, that incidental. It is called a maisa adam, independent of your kavana. So therefore, that's what the Gemara says. According to Rabbi Yehuda, it will depend on the following. Not whether mechavin lekach, but whether efshar or efshar. Whether it was avoidable or whether it was not avoidable at all. That's an interesting chiddush. Now, you see from that Gemara that according to the Shita of Rabbi Shimon, it is not any hana that is considered to be aser. Lo efshar v'kamachavin is mutter. It simply is the following issue. Is that considered to be the type of hana that you are causing, or whether that is hana hanaseis mehaleha? That's the chiddush. No? And how do you determine whether that is the case or not? According to Rabbi Shimon, it is dependent on your intent. It's toli b'kavonas agavra, a davar hamiskaven. If that's the case, now you understand the chiddush then of the Ran. If it's a davar hamiskaven, That's considered to be Maisa Avin. But let's assume that is not the case. The person did not intend that that would be true at all. But you'll tell me it's considered to be a psikration. The person should have realized that it would occur. But that wasn't his overt intention. Is psikresha enough, according to Rabbi Shimon, to label it as Maisa Adam? See, psikresha we know is chayu b'chol ha'Torah kula. What does that mean? The psikresha does not work yesh miayin. What happened? There is an act that you are doing. Right? Go radamita kisa v'safsa. Right? You have a nazir who is sorek. The act is clearly a Maisa Adam. The only question now is the following. Does that act relate to you? The answer is, of course, if it's psikresha, it's considered to be your action. When it comes, however, to Yisuri Hana, much more than that is required. No, here you are arguing that kavan is necessary not just simply in order to link that concrete result to that individual, but rather to create the Yisur itself. Hana hanasis mealeha is allowed. There, kavana is necessary in order to label this yesh miayin as being a maisadam, something that indeed you are causing. For that, the Ran suggests an interesting kiddush alumdus that there you require a davar hamiskaven. Psikresha is considered to be insufficient. That's the kiddush that the Ran writes. When it comes to a totsah in mitzvahs, I perform A and A results in B, a concrete act, then psikresha works. However, if there is no totsah hanikeres, the question is, was I nehene from the reyach? Did I cause that reyach? In such an instance, there the Ran writes the chiddush that psikresha is insufficient. Interesting chiddush. If you look at the lashon of the Maram Chalava, Ram Chalav and Dav Chafheim would be Zim Sochim. Devar Maschel Yitmar. Ram Chalav writes the following Yiddish. That kol she'eno mechavein, ein hareyach gomur, ve'eno nirgash al tachlisa. If a person does not have overt intent, the hana is incomplete. When it comes to Yisuri hana, then the intent defines that as hana. Masha'inkin, when it comes to all other cases, the result is clear. It's just a question to ascribe that result to you. Are you the one, right, who created that charitz in the karka? Are you the one who was tolish? The answer is if it's a psikresha, absolutely. Here, where you're dealing with reach, where the hana hanasis me'aleha is mutter, only if you generate, then are you considered to be chayiv. For that psikresha is insufficient. That's the chiddush of the Ran. If this is the case, you can understand both points of the Ran. They're not at odds with each other. But the Ran, as we mentioned in Chulin and Daf Tzadik Gimel, the Ran in Shabbos Daf Kuf Yud Aleph, right? Rav Mashlimim says, if you were to argue that shatnez is considered to be an iser maisa, then obviously psikresha. No, but the Isser is the Hana Slavisha. Lavisha dispe Hana. And when it comes to Yisuri Hana, that's exactly the Chiddush. Psikresha is insufficient. That you require a conscious, overt Davar HaMiskave. That's why the Ran writes, you can argue that Mochrek Sus, Mochren Kedarkan. Interesting Chiddush that when it comes to issues of Shatnez, their Hana is considered to be a critical factor. But why is that dependent then on Rabbi Yehuda versus Rabbi Shimon? No, that's the Chiddush. Whether it's considered to be a Maisa Adam, or whether it's considered to be that which is Nases Me'aleha, according to Rabbi Shimon Shita, that all is a function of a Davar HaMiskavein, or a Davar She'eno Miskavein. A similar Chiddush is found in the Chiddush Yerashban Shabbos and of Kuf Lamed Gimel when it comes to the other case that we mentioned yesterday, and that's the instance of Ktsitsas Baharis. The Gemara mentions that if a person is doing a bris mila, as we mentioned, in Ayyadei Kav, he removes a Neged Saras, that should be dependent on Rabbi Yud and Rabbi Shimon. That according to the sheet of Rabbi Shimon, this should be a davar she'eno miskaven, and as such, so therefore, it is mutter. What's the difficulty? The Rashba writes the following, that tamiyali, Why is this called? My car, they Davar Sheni Miskaven. Ktsitsas Baheres for the purpose of Brismila is called the Davar Sheni Miskaven. Why is that true? Daham Miskavna Ktsitsa. No? Certainly a person clearly is removing Negatsaras. That was unintended. Of course that is being done. Maybe you'll tell me, no, the person is not doing so for that reason. He's doing so for the purpose of bris milah. What is that called? Ein zakar dar shenem iskaven, but ela malacha shenot tzrich l'gufa. No? The why question in Hilchos Shabbos is a malacha shenot tzrich l'gufa. Here, the Gemara says, k'tzitzas baheres letzorach milah is called a davar shenem iskaven. Why in the world should that be so? The Rashi writes the following chiddush, v'yishlomar. If the Torah would say explicitly that there's an iser of ktsitzas baheres, you're not allowed to remove an eget saras, hachinami, you're absolutely right. Then if a person intends to remove an eget saras, that's called dar hamiskave. You want to know why you're doing so? Good. That's an issue on Shabbos of Lashon Tzrich Lagufa. As he pointed out, that shouldn't be relevant for iser of baheres. Why then does the Gemara tell us that this is called Davar Sheni Miskaven? Rashba writes a fascinating chiddush, because the Torah does not say that there's an iser of ktsitzas baheres. What does it say? He shamar b'neged saras kosar rachmana. So what does that mean? The Torah doesn't say you cannot remove the saras. The Torah just simply says he shamar b'neged saras. What does that mean? He shamar b'neged saras lasos kachol asher yirucho. Meaning what? That you have to follow the psak halacha, the instruction of the Kohen. What does that mean? What is the definition of the iser of tzaras? Rashba writes the following great chiddush: Klomar shelo yitaharenu ela bahoras Kohen. The geder ha'iser is not ktsitzas baheres. The iser is tahara shelo al yedei Kohen. That's a fascinating chiddush. What do you gain by that? That the iser is shelo yitaharena elabaras kohen, as opposed to ktsitzas baheres. Because if the iser is shelo yitaharenu, a person is not allowed to seek tahara other than following the formula, the prescription of the Torah. So if a person is not doing that act of the shem tahara, that's not his intention at all. You'll ask me, why are you removing that baheres? The answer is bris milah. That's called the davar sheni miskaven. That's the Rashba's Chiddush. As we've often mentioned, now with the Tosas Dafayin Gimel, sometimes the Kavana, the Machshava Sagavra, is built into the definition of the Isser. Here we suggested the following Chiddush. When it comes to Shatnez, it's not Levisha. It's Levisha Disbei Hana. And Hana, according to Rabbi Shimon, will be quantified depending on Kavana Sagavra. See, gracious are relevant. Here the Rashi writes the following chiddush: if the geder ha'iser is shelo yitaharenu al yedei kohen, this is to seek out, to pursue tahara, avoiding the haras kohen, then if a person is removing the neged saras because there's a mitzvah rabba, bris milah, therefore that's called the davar sheni miskaven. If the Torah were to say, do not remove a neged saras, you're right, then you couldn't call this a davar sheni miskaven. Shelo yitaren el baras kohen, and therefore, since he is not doing it for that purpose, kotzeis l'shemila. So therefore, havi davar sheni miskaven itzel tara. Right, a fascinating chiddush that the Rashba writes when it comes to ktsitzas baheres, that the Ramban and the Ran write when it comes to levishas kilaim, that there the motivation, the mindset is built into the gufo shel iser, and therefore the Gemara can call these cases one of davar sheino miskaven. The Gemara Daf Kuf Gimel that we began with yesterday that tells us Deka'avid Be'ara Dechavrei. What exactly is the Pshat in that Gemara? Tosus quotes a couple of possibilities. Right? The great Chiddush of the Aruch, that no, the Gemara is telling you explicitly that if it's a Psigresha but it's Lo Nechale, that is Mutu Lechat Chila. Tosus points out, as he mentioned yesterday, there's no rayim u'chachas from the Gemara that it's mutar l'chatchila. The only raya from the Gemara is that Psikreshet Vanechale is not chayiv midaraisa, because the Gemara is dealing with the kash on a level of daraisa, not whether this is mutter, whether this is aser. Why do you need the larger shiurim if kul is lav the office is a karkaninu? The Gemara answers, deka avid bar dechavre. So you have a Gemara Mefureshes that tells us a Psikreshet lo ich pasle is not chayiv midaraisa, but it doesn't necessarily mean that it is indeed mutter lachatchila. But that indeed is the shita of the Aruch. Where do you find cases to support the shita Aruch? That indeed a psigresh l'nechli is mutter l'chatchila. Well, those two gemaras we just mentioned, without the fancy teretz of the Ran, the Ramban, the Rashba, the Aruch can understand those gemaras kapshuto. No? Why is Mochri Ksus allowed to wear this garment? Because it's a psigresh l'nechli. No? He's not doing so. That's a psik reshet l'nechalei. What about the case of the Moel? Also psik reshet l'nechalei. Well, of course he's removing the Beheres. But is he deriving any benefit from that act? Of course not. His job description is to see to it that the child is Moel. Whether he removes the Beheres or not is incidental. Good, that's a psik reshet l'nechalei. According to the Aruch, one can understand those Gemaras Kepshuto. Again, this is all assuming, but Poshup Shad as Tosus assumes that the sheet of the Aruch, the Psikresh L'Nechli, is Mutta the Chadchil, is not even sure, not only true when it comes to Yisurei Shabbos, but even when it comes to Shari Surim, so Kilayim, Chavtes, right, and Tzitzis Beheres, and Kuflamet Gimel. If you're going to assume this is not true, you're going to have to give other explanations of those Sugyas, as the Rashba, the Ran, in the Ramban do. Tosa cites the following Gemara. The Gemara in Zvachim and Daft Sadi Aleph Mudbeis. One is no der yayin. What does he do? He takes that yayin and he pours it al gabe hamizbeach. Isn't that an act of Malachas Isser? B'hakam mechabe. The Pasuk says lo sichbe, not Shabbos. B'chol, a person is not allowed to be mechabe the mizbeach. So in such a case, how do you understand mezalf in yayin? According to the Aruch, terrific. No? This is a psikresha. The person desires, he benefits from kibui hamizbeach? Of course not. And therefore, this is again a psikresha. In fact, Tosus writes in Ksuvas and Avav, the ikarayasa. This is the main rai of the Aruch Shita. Mizalfin yayin al gabi hayishim. And again, that's where Tosus spells out explicitly that the Shita Sa'arach is psikresh l'nechalei is mutter not only on Shabbos, even when it comes to Shari Surim. That's how the Aruch understands the sugya of Shatnez and the sugya of Tzaras and the sugya of Kibui HaMizbeach. Tosus writes the following Chiddush in our Tosus, that no, somehow you have to assume this is not true, because psikresh l'nechalei is not going to help us in this case. We'll soon see why. So Tulsa says, Inukimta, Tipos Dakos, we're talking about a case where a person will pour that wine very slowly, very gradually. If you're going to pour it so slowly, a drop at a time, it is not going to extinguish anything on the Mizbeach. The heat will immediately cause that yayin to be evaporated. It will not result in Kibui HaMizbeach. Inami Tulsa says, Al Gabe Evarim, you don't pour it on the coals, you'll pour it on the carbon itself. And therefore, again, there is no direct kibui hamizmeach. That's what Tosus writes. So therefore, this is not at all a case of a davar shenei miskaven. You're pouring it consciously in a way that does not occur. If you look, however, in Rashi and Zvachim, and Daft Sadi Aleph Mabeis, Rashi seems to say a very great chiddush. Rashi writes in Devar Maschil, Ha Rabbi Shimon, Efshar demizalif lebetik min dakos ma'od. Rashi writes that, look, it's possible to pour that yayin al gabi hamizbeach in very small drops. Good. Well, sounds so far like Tosus. But then Rashi has an unbelievable chiddush. Hilkach, inami mechabe betipin gasos, davar shein miskavim. That sounds like an unbelievable chiddush. No? Rashi writes the following. Not as Tosus, Hocha mayaskinam, betipos dakos. No. since it is efsher v'tipos dakos, since you could have accomplished your end without kipui hamizbeach, therefore one is allowed to do so even v'tipin gasos. That's what Rashi writes in Zvachim Dav Tzadi Yamech. Not hocha b'mayaskina. Kevon de'efsher v'tipin dakos. So therefore, inami mechabet tipin gasos, dover shenu miskavim. That's a very great chiddush, no? If you could have accomplished that same end of pouring the wine on Gabi HaMizbeach in one of two ways, so therefore, that's the teretz. That's a fascinating chiddush. You know what Rashi seems to be assuming? What's the classic case of segregation? Right, literally. Now you'll cut the head off of that animal. Good. Velo yamos. That's an act of hariga. What does that mean? Invariably, inevitably, you'll never be able to sever the head of the animal with the animal remaining alive. That's called the psikration. If, however, it is possible to perform A and B may or may not occur, that is not called a psikration whatsoever. Rashi writes the following chiddush, the application. Since efsher betipin dakos, inami mazifle betipin gasos. Even that is not considered to be a psikration. See, if it's a davar hamiskaven, of course you're chayim. But it's a davar she'eno miskaven. But you're going to tell me, no, it's a psikration? Psikration means that categorically, A and B are inseparable. Interesting chiddush. Where else do you see this? Tosus quotes another Gemara. Sukkah daf lamed gimel mud beis. Ein mematin biyantiv. A person has a hadas that has, right, too many berries. If he will just remove those berries, the hadas that was possible now become kosher. Interesting chiddush that you see the presence of the berries is not a psul min, it's just a psul adar, and therefore the berries are taken off. There's no problem whatsoever. Good. But the Gemara says, ein mamatim b'yantiv. You could do this on Erev Yantiv. Do so b'chol. Don't do it on Yantiv itself. You do it on Yantiv, that's a problem of tikkun mana. Tikkun mana, that the hadas was possible, now it becomes kosher. Tikkun mana on a level of daraisa is physically, right? Makke bepatish. Good? On a level of derabanan, you can have tikkun mana makke bepatish where lehalacha, the difficulty, the problem is resolved. Now, the Gemara says, for example, in Beit Zedaf Yud Chesam and Aleph, you have a kli which is tameh. You're tovel that kli on Shabbos and Yantiv, that's tikkun mana mi derabanan. Mechse kemisake. The kli now goes from tamei to tahor. In common sense terms, he didn't alter the kli at all, but its status changed lahalacha. That's considered to be a form of tikkun mana. You have, for example, tevel, your mafresh chumas and maestros, that's asra on Shabbos and Yantif. Why? Poshab shab tikkun mana. You have the problem of tevel that is solved as a result of hafrasha. Now you have chulin misukonim. That is considered to be a problem of tikkun mana. Good? So ein mematin biyantif. Good. The Gemara asks the following kasha. What happens if you're hungry? Likta l'achila. I enjoy eating berries. So I'll take those berries, I'll eat them, and lo and behold, the hadas will become kasha. The Gemara says, no, that's the case. The dover shenim is coming. And therefore, according to Rabbi Shimon, that should be mutter. The Gemara asks the difficulty. What do you mean? Isn't that a psikresha? When you remove those berries, the hadas automatically becomes kasha. Isn't that a case of psikresha? The Gemara answers, no, Islay Hoshana Achrite. But these are not the hadasim that you're using for the purpose of mitzvah. Your dalid minim are put away in a very safe location. You happen to have a hadas which is sitting around. So Islay Hoshana Achrite. What is the teretz? What is the teretz of Islay Hoshana Achrite? How does that help? The Gemara says, isn't this a psikresha? The hadash is going from pasul to kosher. The Gemara answer is Islay Hoshana Achrite. So our Tosa says, no, the Aruch, great. Of course it's a psikresha. That's a psikresha, d'lo neichalei. If you need this for your Dalet Minim, you need the Hadas which is kosher. That's a problem. That's a psik reish de neichale. If, however, you don't depend on this hadas at all, yisle yoshen achrit, good. This is called a psik reish de neichale. Again, this will only help you if you assume psik reish de neichale is mutlach achila. That's the sheet of the aruch. Rashi and that sugya in Sukkah Daf Lamed Gimel Beis gives a very different explanation. This is what Tosas here rejects. No, our Tosas. That's Rashi. Rashi writes in the Ramas Chalo, Velot Sorach Lahai. You don't need this Hadas. Isner Shanachrita. Therefore, Rashi writes, Hilkach Ein Kan Tikun Kli. It's not called Tikun Mana. It's not called Tikun Mana. That's what Rashi writes. Davar Shinim Iskavin means the Malach is violated, but unintended, isn't this a psik resha? Rashi writes, that's not called Tikkun Mana at all. That's Rashi's finish. Why is that true? No, as we discussed with other Malachos, there are certain Malachos where your mindset, your intent, Kavanas HaGavra, right, is part of the essence of the Malacha. What better example than Tikkun Mana? When it comes to Shabbos, when it comes to Tum and Tara, you and I can do the very same act. For you, this could be a kli. For me, it's not a kli. You intend to use this kli as is. That's called Gemar Kli. It's Makabel Tuma. I intend not to use the kli as it is. I'm not finished yet. I'm going to glaze it. I'm going to put a handle on it. I'm going to put a spout on it. In such a case, it is not considered to be a kli. There, certainly, the Kavana, the Machsheves Habaylim determines whether this is a Gemar Malach or whether it's not. So Rashi says that Isle Hoshana Achrite, in such a case, Ein Kan Tikun Kli. An important Chiddush. Ein Kan Tikun Kli. This is a Ha'ara that the Magid Mishnah has in the Shitas HaRambam as well. The Rambam is found Hilchos Shabbos in Perek Yud Beis Halacha Beis, where the Rambam writes the following. Hamachabek kol shehu chayiv. If a person extinguishes, you're chayiv. It's one of the lametes malachos. Echad hamachabes haner ve'echad hamachabes hagachel shel eitz. Whether you're extinguishing a fire or whether you're extinguishing a coal of eitz. Avla hamachab gachel shel mateches. If a person extinguishes gachel shel mateches, just simply glowing metal, then the Rambam writes, you're potter. Why is that true? Right, a fire is burning. Wood is burning. Right, metal is not burning. Now, you heat up metal, it glows. Extinguishing that which is burning is called mechabe. So mechabes haner, mechabes hagachela shel eish. Mateches, the Rambam writes, then you are a potter. However, the Rambam writes the following. Good, you're not chayiv because of mechabe. But now the Rambam writes, ve'im niskavin litzareif. But if your mindset is that you are cooling down the metal in order to harden the metal, like we saw in that sugi, in Yuma, daf, lamadal mebeis, then you're chayiv. Not for mechabe, mitzareif. So the Magid Mishnah writes the following Chiddush. Why does the Rambam write Ve'im niskavein letzarev? If your mindset is letzarev, you're chayiv for Tikkun Mana. Why does it depend on your mindset? Now, if you cool down the metal, true, you're not extinguishing because the metal is not burning, it wasn't ignited. But if you cool down the metal, isn't it a psik resha? That the metal will be hardened. So why doesn't the Rambam say that you're not chay mishum mechabe, but you are chay mishum mitzarei, because that is indeed what is happening. Why does the Rambam add ve'im niskavein letzarev chayim? It's mefurish in the Rambam that you're only chayiv if this was the intent. The Magid Mishnah says, why should that matter? Isn't this a case of psigresha? So no, the Magid Mishnah writes, what do you mean? Kishe eno miskavein, ein bo malacha klal. Sharei eno rotz lasu simeno kli. If you don't intend for asiyas hakli, that is not called gemar malacha. That's not called asiyas hakli, even if it is a psikration. And that's why the Rambam adds ve'im niskavin letzaraf yischayiv. When it comes to a tikkun mana, when it comes to gemar kli, of course kavana plays an inherent role. And that's why the Rambam says, "Im niskavin letzaraf." This is Shitas Rashi. Of Isle on Shanach Rite. Tosus is bothered by the following, because when you see that Gemara in Sukkah Daf Lamed Gimel, the Gemara says the following: right? How can you go ahead and leak on the achila? Why is that mutter? The Gemara says, "Rabbi Shimon Davar Sheni Miskavin." The Gemara says, "Isn't that a psigresha?" The Gemara says, "Isle on Shanach Rite." Tosa says, doesn't it sound like the Gemara that this is all within Rabbi Shimon? If you hold like Rabbi Yehuda, of course you're chayiv. Dovr Shem Yiskavin is chayiv. If you hold like Rabbi Shimon, isn't it Dovr Shem Yiskavin? The Gemara answers, Sigration? No, it's the Oshan Achrita. If you're going to tell me, Tosa says, no, that's our Tosas. That without that intent, it is not considered to be tikkun mana. This should be true even according to Rabbi Yud as well. Why should this now be dependent on Rabbi Yud and Rabbi Shimon? If you're going to tell me, like the Aruch, for example, no, this is a psikresha. It's a psikresha lo d'lo nechalei. So good. That means according to Rabbi Shimon, it's mutter. According to Rabbi Yud, Rabbi Shimon is kavan ishayiv. But if you're telling me that ein kan tikkun kli, so therefore, why should this be dependent on Rabbi Yud and Rabbi Shimon? And Tosus explains lamaskanas ha-gemara, the Gemara is not an absolute reversal of what is suggested earlier, right? Perhaps one could argue, you're right. The mid-stage in the Gemara had thought that this is Arshin Miskav, the Gemara is forced to assume this is a machlokas between Rabbi and Rabbi Shimon. The Gemara got stuck with Psik Resha. That forced the Gemara into a new teretz, Isle Yoshan Achrita, which means this is not Tikkun Man at all, and maybe an Achinami. So maybe at that point, we're no longer limited to Shitas Rabbi Shimon. This would be true even according to Rabbi Yehuda. But Tosa says no. It's mashma from that Gemara that that is not true at all. So Tosa gives a couple other possibilities. Tosa writes, Natsugi and Sukkah, Daflan Gimel Beis, Ramas Chamodeh. I agree with Aruch. This is a psikresha de l'neichale. I just disagree with Aruch's conclusion, therefore it's mutter l'chadchila. I maintain a psikresha de l'neichale is nisa de rabbanon. Pot level aser. We'll soon see. Psikresha de l'neichale is pot level aser. So therefore what? We still need another step. So why is it mutter? The fact that it's not a nisa daraisa that I know. That's a psikresha l'echle. It's never aser midaraisa. Even furthermore, we're only dealing here with tikkun mana, not in common sense terms. Right? We're dealing with tikkun mana lahalacha. That's not makve patish midaraisa. You're dealing with eya malacha drabanan and a psikresha l'echle, which is only aser in all cases at most midarabanan. So what's the halach in such a case? So Tosus has two different formulations. Tosus writes in Sukkah Daf Gimel that a psikresha l'neichle is only nisa drabanan in shari mishum mitzvah. Shari mishum mitzvah. For a mitzvah, for dalet minim, that's mutter. Our Tosus here in Shabbos in Daf Kuf Gimel says something differently, very important halacha, no? Our Tosus says the following, wait a second. We're not dealing with a malacha daraisa. Removal of berries is only tikkun muat, kamo miyot anavim. The whole malachi here is only nisid rabbanon. And here, lo gozru chachamim kishe'eno nehene. Wow. If it's a psikresha de lo nechale, in an isid rabbanon, that's mutter. The Aruch maintains psikresha nechale as mutter l'chachi in all cases. Here our Tosa says, no, if you're dealing with an isid rabbanon, such as tikkun mana, in this case, Then you're right. See, Greishel and Eichel, Nisid Rabbanan, that is considered to be mutter. That's an important chiddush, no? Even if we don't accept the Shita Sa'aruch, that Psigreishel and Eichel categorically is mutter v'chadchila, our Tosas suggests when it comes to Tikkun Manad Rabbanan, that's not true. This is the Shita of Tosas. This is what the Miri writes in Shabbos Daf Chav Tesamud Beis. This is a day according to the Magen Avram in Shin Yadalit. And the Tshuva is Bar Yitzchak. The Bar Yitzchak in Simen Tezvav. Sums this way the halacha. Even aside from the Shita Zaruch, a Psigresha de lo Nechale and the Isser de Rabbanon, that in fact is Mutu. That's very important. If you look in the Rambam Shita, one is puzzled by the Rambam's omission. In Hilchos Lulav Perches Halacha Hei, the Rambam writes, right, this whole case, if you'll simply remove the berries, the hadas now becomes a hadas which is kosher. The Rambam writes, however, if you can't do this on yantif, the fishu kim esakein. Good. The Rambam writes, however, if liktan echod echod la'achila, hareze kosher. Liktan echod echod la'achila, kosher. If, however, you'll just pick them one at a time and you'll eat them, clearly you're doing so derech achila. You're not picking off all the berries because you want the hadas to become kosher. But likton echad echad achila. So in such a case, hareza kosher. That's the Rambam. Perches halacha hei. Likton achila kosher. What's the problem? The Rambam left out the next shakla v'tari of the Gemara. The Gemara says, that's not true, it's a psik resha. The Gemara answers, ishlei hoshana achrita. No? The Rambam omits that. I'm misleading. It sounds from the Rambam as though that if you need this hadas, right, as long as liktan echad echad achil, it's mutter. No, it's only in the case of hachamei askinin, the ishlei hoshana achrita. How do you understand that chiddush of the Rambam? The Rambam leaves out the punchline of the Gemara. If you look in the Magid Mishnah, Magid Mishnah has a different gears than the Rambam. What does it mean? Liktan echad la'achila, echad echad la'achila? So he pointed out, you're picking it in such a way that it's clear that you're doing sodera achila, as opposed to doing it for the purpose of being a sak in the hadas. Magid Mishnah had a different gears than the Gemara. Not liktan echad, but liktan acher. Acher, what does that mean? If someone else will do so. You're stuck. You don't have a lulav. You don't have hadasim. But you have these hadasim that have too many berries. The gears of Magid Mishnah is if likton acher la'achila, harei ze kasha. What is acher? The Magid Mishnah writes, that's the Gemara. It's the Hoshana Achrita. Right? You have a problem. If you're going to pick off these berries, that's tikkun mana. But if someone else will do it, someone else who is not in your predicament, someone else who is the Hoshana Achrita, in such a case, then it's mutter. That's what the Magid Mishnah writes. So number one, that presupposes that you have this girsa, acher, not echad echad achila. The girsa we have in the Gemara is not as the case, not as the Magid Mishnah. And then you can assume that that's exactly what the Gemara is telling you. If you look in the Rosh Sameach suggests the following chiddush. The Gemara says it's the Hoshana Achrita. The Rambam omits that. That's a difficulty, no? Rosh Sameach writes the following chiddush. The Gemara did not mean to say, Hacha b'mayaskinen is the Hoshana Achrita. We're talking about a particular kimta, we're talking about a particular case where you don't require the hadas, and therefore it's not tikkun mana. The Gemara is telling you the following fundamental chiddush. This is very similar to Rashi, the Rashi in Zvachim, Daf Tzadi Aleph. Let me ask you. Picking off berries, is that tikkun mana or is it not tikkun mana? What's your answer? It depends. It depends. No? if you need this for the purpose of mitzvah, then that's a problem of tikkun manah. If you wouldn't need it for the purpose of mitzvah, then it's not tikkun manah. So picking the berries off of this hadas, sometimes is, sometimes isn't, that cannot be called a psik resha. That's what the Gemara means. Isn't it a psik resha? The Gemara says, what do you mean? If you were to have other hadasim, would this be a problem of tikkun manah? No. So how can you call this a psik resha? That's what the Gemara means to say. Not hocha mayaskin yisrael shana achrita. If yisrael shana achrita, would this be tikkun manah? Of course not. So therefore, this cannot be called psik resha. Psik resha means, by its very definition, A and B are equivalents. Cutting off the head is hariga. A nazir using a fine-tooth comb, that's an act of tolesh. If, however, you tell me, right, removal of berries, sometimes yes, sometimes no, the moment you introduce another variable, it depends, that is not called a psik resha. That's exactly what the Rambam writes. If likta nachil, that's mutter. I'll tell me it's a psik resha, it's not a psik resha. Because in a different set of circumstance, it wouldn't be tikkun manah at all. How can that be called a case of psik resha? This is similar. The case is not identical, but it's similar to Rashi. Rashi was the one who said this unbelievable chiddush, that if you could pour that yayin on the mizbeach in such a way that it doesn't result in kibui, then you can't call that a psik resha. So if it's a davraham miskavein, you pour the liquid on the mizbeach in order to extinguish, of course you're chayin. But it's a davar she'eno miskavein, that's the last thing you have in mind, kibui hamizbeach. But you're going to say, nonetheless, it should be also because of psik resha. Ziluf hayayin is not the equivalent of kibui hamizbeach. The Rambam's case is simpler than Rashi's case, no? Because in the Rambam's case, that exact act, you don't have to come out to say if you would do it differently. That exact act, removal of berries, what's the halacha? Sometimes, yes, sometimes, can't call that a psik resha. Rashi is a very great chiddush. You have to see where to draw the line according to Rashi. Now, in the case where you pour the wine on the mizbeach, that's going to result in kibui. But Rashi says, since you could have done it differently, as long as it's eino miskavein, that's not called a psik resha. That's a very great chiddush. No, according to Rashi, we'll have to see how to quantify. If you could have done it in a different fashion, that's also not a psik resha. The Rambam is a much more simple application. No? Where the Rambam writes that exactly as you did, without altering anything, but just changing a circumstance, is the Yoshana creative. That's not called psik resha. No, that's the Rambam. Where else do you see that this is true? And then we'll have to see what the basis of this whole machlokas is. The Mishnah and Shabbos Nafkuvav Mabeis mentions the following case. Yoshav Echad al HaPesach. You have a house, and there is an animal, a tzvi, a deer, which is in the house. The door is open, right? And I position myself in front of that door. Yashav echad al ha-pesach. However, v'lol mil ohu, I don't take up the whole doorway. So the animal still has access to go in or go out. That's not seidah. If yashav hasheni umil ohu, but if a second person comes and he blocks the second half, and now the tzvi cannot exit, hasheni chayim. The second one now is chayim because of tzeda. This is not called a shnayim shasu. What I did was nothing. No? But now the second person is chayim because he blocked the door. Good. Mishnah continues. Yashav harishon al ha-pesach umalahu. Person A positions himself right in the door, and now the animal cannot leave. That's seida, no? Uvo hasheni v'yashav etzido. The second person comes and sits right next to him. Second person didn't do anything, no? The animal was already nitzo. Second person didn't capture the animal. The Mishnah says even further, Afal pi sha'amad harishim halachlo. Even if person A gets up and walks out, and now it is only person B that is blocking that entrance. Still, harishim chayva sheni potter. The second person never did an act of tzedah. When the second person came, the animal was already nitzo. The second person did not commit any act of tzedah at all. Very good, no? The Mishnah says the following. The sheni is potter. Why is the sheni potter? Lamaze doma, what's that comparable to? So the Mishnah gives us a mashal. This mashal is unclear. Lenoel es beiso l'shomro, a person who locks the door in his home. Why? To protect his home. He always locks the door in his home. And all of a sudden, v'nimtza tzvi shomer b'selcho. Lo and behold, there's a deer in the house. That's the mashal. Noel es beiso l'shomro, v'nimtza tzvi shomer b'selcho. What exactly is that? A person closes or locks the door to his home, and now there he sees it. There's a tzvi in the house. He's potter. Why is he potter? Why is he potter in that case? So if you look in the Ran, here on Daf Lamed Ches Simen Aleph and Daf Pei Harif, the Ran says the following. You know what that mashal is? No, it's based on the Shomro. That the tzvi was already nitzo. What do you mean the tzvi was nitzo? One possibly, the Ran says, the door was already closed. The Mishnah doesn't say sogar es hadelas l'shomro. Mishnah says noel es beiso. He locked it. What do you mean? The tzvi was already confined to the house because the door was closed, right? What did you do? You bolted it. That's of no consequence. The animal was nitzeled because the door was already closed. Right? Hadelas magufa, the door was already closed. So when I go ahead and I bolt it, what am I doing? Mosif shmirah shmiraso. That's exactly the previous case. That's the mashal. No? A person is sitting blocking the door and I sit next to him. The animal was already nitzeled as a result of person A. All person B is doing is fortifying. You're not chayiv for that. That's what the Ran writes. Hacha mayaskinan. Nolas beis l'shomro means an important detail. No, b'med v'ramurim that the tzvi was already kvar nitzo. So the fact that you further secure the lock doesn't matter. The Ran, however, continues and quotes the Chiddush of the Rashba. And this is what the Shulti HaGibarim discusses. The Rashba writes an extreme Chiddush. The Tzvi is not Nitzo. The Tzvi is running around in your house. Furthermore, and you know that Tzvi is there. Maybe you could have interpreted the Mishnah. V'nimtza tzvi shomer b'selcho. I come home, I close the door, I turn around, and I'm greeted by the deer. Good. I had no clue. When I closed the door, I had no idea that I was doing an act of tzeda. No. The Rashba writes, you're aware that the tzvi is b'vesa. And the tzvi can run free. And you went ahead and closed and locked the door. Still, mutter liskor hadeles. You're allowed to close the door. Why? Rashi writes a little chiddush. Ubilvad shiyiskave nami lishmor habayis. As long as you also intend, wow, lishmor es habayis. That's a very great chiddush, no? If my intention is I am closing the door because I want to confine the animal, that's seder. But here, what is my intent? As long as yiskave nami, lishmor habayis, I have a dual intent. I realize I'm pinning the animal in. But that's not the sole purpose of my closing the door. I always close the door. No? But you leave the door open at night. So whenever you go into the house, you close the door.
as long as the bavad she is kaven nami lishmor habayis, that's mutter. That's a great, great chiddush. No? Shilti HaGibarim writes that according to the Rashba, something is only called a psigresha if eino osa dvar heter imo. It's only called a psigresha if there is a single result. A single result. That's psigresha. But if there is a dual result, here, I close the door, shmiras habayis, as well as seidas ha'atzvi, that's not called a psigresha. Psigresha means psigresha v'lo yamus. You cut off the head of the chicken and it dies. That's a secondary result? That's not a secondary result. That's what psigresha is. But if there is a secondary result, a dual purpose, unbelievable. That's still Dvar Sheni Miskavi. Wow. That's the extreme chiddush of the Rashba. The Ran and the Ramban continue and say this is not right at all. In fact, the Lashon HaMishnah is very meduyak. Noah is based on the Shomra. V'nimtza tzvi shomer. Nimtza means up until then I didn't know. If you know that there's a tzvi in the house, you cannot close the door. Because if you close the door, that's seida. I didn't intend to catch the tzvi. You close the door because every night you close the door to your house. I don't care. That's a psik resha. That's a psik resha of seida. And a further possibility. This is the Shilti HaGibor. Shilti HaGiborim writes a mid-view, right, in between the Rashba and in between the Ran and the Ramban. Shilti HaGiborim writes, that's our lomdus. When I close the door, closing a door is seida. I always close my door. Every night I lock the door. No? In an incredibly unusual case, closing the door results in seida. No? One in a million cases, when I close the door to my house, all of a sudden, right, there's a tzvi shor besoch, and that's called seida. That's what the Shilti HaGiborim writes. Can you call that a psikresha? I understand psikresha. A and B are identical. Psigresha of Loyamos. Closing the door equals Seida. In almost all cases, closing the door is not Seida. In this particular instance, closing a door results in Seida. That is not a Psigresha. So therefore, Shilti HaGiborim said the following. If part of your intention is to catch that Tzvi, that's the Dvar HaMiskaven. Of course that's us. But if that was not your intent, Dvar Sheinu Miskaven, and the entire basis of Chiyuv is Psigresha, you can't call that a Psigresha. Like Rashi, Zilof Yain does not equal Kibui. The Rambam, right? Picking of berries does not equal Tikkun Mana. Closing a door to your home, the Shomra, was not called Seida. See, the reason this is different from the Rashba is the following. The Rashba writes that even if you were to intend to do Tzeda, you're not going to be Chayim. Because Yiskavei Nami Lishmor Habayis. Because your mindset is not only for Tzeda, it's also for Shmiras Habayis. The Shilti HaGiborim writes, no, if your mindset is for Tzeda in any shape or form, of course you're Chayim. That's a Dvar HaMiskavei. But if that's something that you don't intend to do whatsoever, you're just faced with a safety issue, you know? I have this tzvi in my house. What am I going to do? Leave the door open all night? I want to close the door for the purpose of Shmira. The fact that Seida will result is something that doesn't concern me. But you'll argue, but isn't that a psikresha? That's the chiddush that the Shilti HaGiborim writes. That if A does not always result in B, that is not something that is at all called
a psikration. This is a common theme that you find in Rashi, the Rambam, the Shulti HaGiborim, that these cases are not necessarily labeled as a psikration. It's a fascinating issue. Let's see, Beis Frank discusses the case, for example. Let's assume that it's a sunny day in the summer, no? So it's not so uncommon in your house that you'll open up the shades, no? And the sun will shine in. Right, in many homes there are plants in the house, plants that are growing, right? The sunlight is going to promote the growth of the plant. Is that us, sir? Does that mean, for example, that one is not allowed to draw the blinds on a sunny day? Because by doing so, right, the sun is going to shine in and that will result in some form of simuchi peira. Is that really true? This is what Shmir Shabbos discusses, right, in Perach Chaf Aleph. This is what Ritzi Pesach Frank has in the Har Tzvi, right, in Simur Kuf Lamed Gimel. Here, where a person routinely will do something for purpose A, and at times there can be an ancillary result, which is Davar Shenim Yiskavin. Can you call that obsecration? Here you have these Pasul Makoros and the Rishonim. This is not called obsecration at all. Why should that be so? So let's take a step back, right, and try to assess the whole issue of the Machlokas Tosas Norach. So this is what we'll have to pick up. What is the Machlokas Tosas Norach? Whether psikration leichle is mutter or potter. It sounds like technical machlokas, whether there's an isser drabanan, you read to the tosis and the last tosis, this is a fundamental machlokas. No? According to the Aruch, the psikration leichle is davar shenim yiskavin. Tosis says that's not true. A psikration leichle is a malacha shino tzrich lagufa. What is that machlokas between tosis and the Aruch? Take a look at also in the Chiddush Rabbi Kiveger. This is found in Yeradayan Simon Pei Zayin. There's a long Ramah. Take a look at the Chiddush Rabbi Kiveger. Right, it's the Dibra Maschil. That V'yesh Omrim the Oser Lachtos Ha'esh. First, a fascinating issue Rabbi Kiveger discusses. What is the definition of psikration? Something called a Suffolk psikration. Sounds a little funny, no? But a Suffolk psikration. To see what that means, no? Take a look at this Rabbi Kiveger. Rabbi Kiveger quotes the end of the piece of Taz, right? Shin Tezayin. Take a look at that. Sivkot and Gimel. Very important Taz. What's the definition of Psikresha? And then Rabbi Kiveger goes on to make a very important Ha'ara within this Machlokis, Tosis, and the Aruch. Then take a look in the Kobet Shim, Rabbi Chanan and Ksuvas. He has to take a look at in Simen Yud Ches. We'll try to piece together this Machlokis, right? And then we'll see why the definition of Psikresha with the Rashi and the Rambam, Shulchan Gaborim, is very, very relevant to this issue. And this also will link to the relationship of Shabbos, right, to Shar Isurei Torah.